rejected this morning.
I'm a genius.
Then Tookie Williams.
There I go.
Clemency requested.
Funny again. Just
Martin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. We were just listening to Arnold the Syringe Man, and that was a piece that Martin from Nimbin, Australia, produced along with... do you produce that along with your friend John?
Yeah, John is here. He didn't produce that. John is here on a different matter.
Okay. So can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about NIM FM and a little bit about the community that you have over there in Australia? It's a fairly small community. I believe it's like 1,500 families. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're situated in a valley here called the Nimbin Valley. And it's surrounded by hills and mountains, and then there's other valleys behind that and so on. And the hippies all live everywhere. So the total population of, like, you'd say, like-minded folks in the widest sense is probably 30,000 people here in the North Coast. And our transmitter, our radio station, can only reach within our valley because we have no access to any mountain for a relay, for a external site, you know.
Well, how did you end up starting this radio station? How?
I wasn't really in the beginning involved, but in 1999, this station started with a bunch of volunteers who were very keen to do the old school radio to get signal out free to air into people's homes here in the village and surround. And that's just about, yeah, 1,500, as you quoted, roughly now. And then it sort of spiraled on. We had a really old, we had really good transmitter. We raised the money for the transmitter, for the hardware, aerial, all that stuff. And people donated CD players from all sorts of sources. We got donations of gear, of secondhand gear, and some of it was just impossible to repair.
Oh, believe me, we had the same problem here, so that's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, and some of it was really valuable. And so the whole spirit sort of spread out, and the radio station became, yeah, sort of a new animal in town, because the community exists from the days back from 1973, when the first dropouts from Sydney and Melbourne and other places started moving here. So it's quite a long, ongoing affair of alternative people living here.
There was...
It grew and grew and grew over the 30 years now. As I said, I think it's about 30,000 alternative people in the vicinity of the North Coast. And this Aquarius Festival is the buzzword. If anybody wants to check out historically what Nimbin made Nimbin, Google up 1973 Aquarius Festival.
And how many people used to attend that festival?
Oh, this festival was a initiation thing in 1973.
Oh, okay.
And there's websites about it, which you can read up on what happened and how it all came up for people who are interested into the details of it. I can tell you that this is like here around Nimbin, there's perhaps 15,000 people involved into permaculture, eating out of their own gardens, doing their own solar energy, doing their own waste management, their own water collection, their own energy requirements in all sorts of levels, and have their own schools even here. And some of them people never leave the bush, you know.
It's amazing to me. It's like a little oasis from what.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And you've been there since the beginning, or when did you arrive on?
Yeah, I live here for a long time, but I wasn't involved in the beginning of the radio station, which started in 1999. I came a year later. In the year 2000, I joined, and always had an international focus for our local people here to and used downloads on a slow connection. Can you believe it? I waited here sometimes 2 hours for a 20-minute recording.
Oh, my.
Yeah, but I got the international scene early on to NIM FM, and I've got some other people in the meantime interested. And now we've got Warwick, who's running our Nimbin Radio Media.libsyn.com host for MP3s. He set this up. He was the man behind it last year, and this is running now about 9 months.
Is it true that you guys have your own currency? is that true? Yeah, I heard it was called Nimlets or something.
Yeah, there was once upon a time it was like that, but it has evolved. It's now any business in Nimbin needs the green currency to exist, not directly necessarily, but it needs the tourists to come and buy it. And while they are in town, they buy then paraphernalia, they buy books, they buy videos, they buy CDs, they buy handicrafts, they buy bushcraft. They go and book into a workshop for permaculture, or they go and watch a activist radical movie from a protest. And I'd love to get John on air about this, because we've got a deep concern with Barrick Gold here. Barrick Gold is a Canadian company, I understand. And they're doing a lot of, contentious things, I might say, just sort of not taking it away of John to explain that. If you want to talk to John, he's sitting next to me.
Yeah, I would love to.
Okay, well, I'll just pass it on to John. Johnny Chai.
Okay.
Hello, Joe.
How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm just so happy that you guys were able to take the time and spend it with us here this morning. It's 7:34 in Montreal, but it's about 11:30 at night for you guys, I guess.
It is. We're actually in a cyclone at the moment. Here's torrential rain and flooding all around our area at the moment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's I don't know if we're going to get home tonight.
Have you? Do you guys have problems like that normally, or is that something that's just come about?
Sometimes I don't think it comes down this low quite usually. It usually stays up the far north coast. This is the northern New South Wales north coast. So for it to come down this low, it's a bit, you know, it's a really big. It's bigger than a cyclone apparently. It's a really big depression.
We had a look on the map.
I had a look on the map, and it's with the satellite, it's huge, and it's dumping like a record amount of water here.
Well, you guys stay safe.
We will.
Tell us a little bit about this Canadian company that is perhaps not doing nice things over there.
They're called Barrick Gold, and they're registered on the Canadian Stock Exchange, the Paris Stock Exchange, and New York Stock Exchange. They're the biggest. They've just merged with Placer Dome, and they've become the biggest gold producer in the world. And they've came to Australia, and they're proposing and in the process of developing a mine at Lake Cowell, which is Australia's biggest inland lake. Every 15 years, it gets massive, and like kilometres across, hundreds of kilometres across sometimes, with the Murray River and the Darling River flowing into it. And the Barrick Gold are in the process of building a huge mine right on the edge of the lake there. It's going to involve removing 128 million tons of low to medium grade ore. It's the excavated hole is 1 kilometre wide, 325 metres deep, which is deeper than the Centre Point Tower in Sydney, if anybody's ever seen that.
Did you say a kilometre wide?
Kilometre wide, it's 325 metres deep, and it's on the shore of the lake where 277 migratory birds come from all around the world, and they land there. And I think Barrick Gold have diverted the river behind the lake and are now digging a hole and removing as much rock as the mass of Uluru or Ayers Rock in central Australia. So it's a big thing. The hole that they're proposing to dig will be half within the high water level of the lake as it is now. So they're going to primarily drill a big hole. And when they process the rock, the miners, they crush it to about half-inch cubes. And in this case, I think they've got it in a kind of a vat system, where they leach all the gold with cyanide, 6,000 tons of cyanide every year for 13 years, and all the rock turns to mush, and they extract the gold, and then with the tailings, which are massive for 128 million tons, they go along a road to what they call the tailings dam, and these tailings dams are 1.5 kilometres square, and there's two of them. And 128 million tons of rock mixed with approximately about 80,000 tons of cyanide over 13 years gets put in these big open space of water, and in the arid conditions in the partially desert area where they're situated, all the crystals of the arsenic and cyanide and all the other cyanates that are produced will blow across the landscape and affect anybody who lives around it. It's I've got some other figures here about chemicals to be used on the job. There's 6,090 tonnes of cyanide every year.
6,090 tonnes?
Yeah.
Wow.
7,500 tonnes of ammonium nitrate. 56,700 tonnes of quicklime. 12,600 tonnes of sulfuric acid. 702 tonnes of hydrochloric acid. And 2,100 tonnes of hydrogen peroxide. This is all in ancient sacred site of the Aboriginal people here, who have been there for 60,000 years. All their artefacts have been taken away by the company and stored. 600 artefacts, stone implements, really precious items to the Aboriginal people. So for Country Energy, which is your local electricity supplier, to supply electricity to the mine, they had to run a cable 105 kilometres. And to do that, they have to shave a strip 200 metres wide for 105 kilometres across all this beautiful landscape, Aboriginal sacred sites, burial grounds, and such like. We need some help here with, like, the cyanide itself is coming from Gladstone, which is 1,600 kilometres away, and there's 6,000 tonnes of cyanide on the roads from Gladstone, which is situated on the Barrier Reef as it is, where two companies make 60,000 tonnes of cyanide every year and distribute it around Australia.
Are those Australian companies that are making that, or is that an outside company?
I'm not sure. One of them is called Orica. I'm not sure where they're, because their money's on lots of different stock exchanges. And I'm not sure actually where they're based. But they're in Gladstone, and we've got 98.2% of all gold mining in Australia is cyanide-based. So we're getting 1,000 tonnes of cyanide. Oh, sorry, I'll say that again. We're getting several thousand tonnes of cyanide every year, 100,000 tonnes, according to the Peace Bus website. There's a website called Cyanide Watch with the Peace Bus, which goes into a lot more detail about the cyanide.
The Peace Bus is an organization based out of Nimbin that goes around and protests. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
They're doing the cyanide route to build awareness along the cyanide route, where the cyanide's going to go, the 1,600-kilometer journey from the Queensland through to New South Wales. And it's a concern that maybe our authorities here will not be able to deal with a collision or a crash involving 100 tonnes of cyanide into the river systems.
100,000 tonnes, right?
Yeah, this is. But that's a, just say 100 tonnes going, like on one truck, going into the river. Like, we're talking 6,990 tonnes a year. So that's like 100 tonnes a week. It's out of proportion. Like the gold, the people from all over the world are coming exploiting Australia. They're treating it as the world's quarry. We all live on the edge of the quarry and have to fight off the miners who are poisoning the landscape and killing all the animals.
And here you have this wonderful oasis. You have people that are producing their own energy, that are taking care of their own waste, that are their artists, and then you have these corporations that come from empires, and they come and they destroy that, right?
They do. We've got a history of taking on gold miners around here. We have the gold miners seem to attack Aboriginal places of special meaning to the Aboriginal people, sacred sites, and dissolve them, and trying to actively kill the culture of the Aboriginal Australian people.
And believe me, we have the same problem here in Canada with oil and other resources that are extracted, and at the Aboriginal people are the ones directly affected by that. Go ahead.
We've been associated with a gold mine called Chimbara. What's that?
We've
been associated with a gold mining campaign to stop three gold mining companies mining an Aboriginal sacred site, of a massively sacred site, to the area where we are now in Nimbin. It's for the whole Bundjalung area. And
Ross Mining, South African company, came in and bulldozed all these beautiful old trees, hundreds of years old, on a beautiful plateau. It was only seven places in the world like at high altitude wetland. And the miners went up there and they cut down all the trees, all the sacred trees of the Aboriginal people in their sacred sites of learning, initiation and stuff, destroyed it completely, dug a huge heap leach pad. They were only using 700 tons of cyanide a year, but that was going into the Nelson's Creek, and it overflowed, and we stopped it, and we started a cafe in Nimbin, where we are now, called the Timborough Cafe, and we had to raise $20,000 to get our Bush lawyer, Al Oshlap, who's an amazing lawyer, into court. We had to raise $20,000 because the court said that our lawyer was a vexatious litigant, which means you're a troublemaker.
Really?
Legal language. So he said, if you want to come to court, you've got to raise $20,000. So the whole town took 9 months, and we raised $20,000, and we took the miners to court, and we beat them with the Aboriginal people, native title stuff. And we beat them. And it's only one only gold mine ever shut down. We shut down three of them. We're not into shutting them down. We're just into stopping the madness. It's criminally insane what they're doing to the landscape here through money and gold fever. There's a gold rush. There's a resources rush in Australia with the Chinese coming over for aluminium and stuff. Now, we need some help. The Aboriginal people need some help. There's only 20 million people, and a percentage of those who have time and no mortgage and know to actually bring to the world's attention what's happening is remarkably small. And we really need some help here. I just didn't mean to stress that too eagerly, but if you'd like your listeners to get involved with our campaign, which would be so good.
Then we would definitely like that. Go ahead.
There's some websites here. It's the peacebus.com.au. These are all Australian-based with AU after them. Rainforest Information Centre and Friends of the Earth Australia. This is a national campaign of Friends of the Earth Australia. So we also have issues with nuclear dumps here being developed and a whole industry built around increasing sales of storing people's nuclear rubbish. The world's nuclear rubbish is stuff afoot to increase that by $10 billion a year. So because it's so big and vast, people think Australia's like the world's shed, where they put everything in it. But there's people that live out there. There's massive, massive things that need to come out here. We need the world to come and hear the Aboriginal people, what they've got to say, the Australian Aboriginal people. They've been under extreme duress and hardship for 234 years. So they need this is all part of it. This is how we get involved. Because of environmentalist stuff, we get to protect the land. We meet the two people of the land. And we work closely with them because we see what we're all losing. So, and it's not past tense, it's happening now. There's three guys sleeping outside in the hurricane. There's three guys sleeping on the veranda here, you know, Aboriginal people. Things are still very much, we've got the Commonwealth Games, they're called the Stolen Wealth Games over here, because that's what it's like. If everybody comes over here, takes Australia's resources, gets rich, and what about the people who live here, the Aboriginal people, whose connection with the land is more than we can begin to know?
Can you go ahead and tell us again what the name of that Canadian company is?
It's Barrick Gold.
Barrick Gold. Okay.
Barrick Gold. They're the honorary president from 1995 to 1999 was George Bush Sr.
Yuck.
So
okay.
It's the biggest company in the world. Is everything involved with George Bush Sr. involved with this? We have to come up against mercenary armies sometimes in the mine, like protesting out mining. They send armies in first, and then they to make sure that check it out or stop any unrest that all their gold mining is doing.
I hope that some of my listeners who are listening right now will take a moment and search this out.
We have a corroboree happening at Easter. At Lake Cowell. So if anybody would like to come over and have a look, and could see some dancing with Aboriginal dances and perform a storytelling at Lake Cow. There's more information on the Save Lake Cow website. So, yeah, I'm actually a chai man. I make tea. We make tea to at environmental blockade situations, and we're environmental caterers, and we have a really good time doing a really horrible job. And so we've got to, you know, you can't sell cyanide and everything by going, oh God, the world's going to be destroyed. We have a good time doing it. that's the only way you can sell it.
All right, and if people want to get to know Nimbin Australia, they can go to nimbinaustralia.com, correct?
Yeah, Nimbin Australia, that's right. And Lake Cow and the Aboriginal people, if they would like to get involved or send donations or any legal help or anything like that, it's savelakecow.com.
Okay. Well, I do thank you for joining me this morning. Unfortunately, we're going to have to go. But I thank you for offering that information for our listeners, and I hope that someone who is listening right now will take advantage and visit this these websites and just learn more about this community. Nimbin Australia, NIMFM, NIMFM.
That's right.
Is it .com?
Yeah, is it .com, NIMFM.com?
No,
NIMFM.org.
.org, okay. And I just congratulate you on what you guys are doing over there. I thank you for joining me this morning. I have been speaking with Martin and John from NIMFM.org, NIMFM in Nimbin, Australia. And they just have a wonderful little oasis over there, and they're trying to protect it, and they need people's help. So thank you very much again for calling and joining me this morning, and good luck in the future, okay?
Yeah, well, thank you for having us.
No problem.
And I saw your program on the website. It's called The Friday Morning After, is it?
That's correct.
Oh, well, I'll keep an eye on that one.
All right. And hopefully in the future we can broadcast each other's stuff. I think it's great.
Yeah, as you might remember the email I wrote about Skype and TalkBack and stuff is coming on in a couple of months.
All right, well, we'll look forward
makes
to that.
Makes it easier.
Yeah, it does make it easier and cheaper, huh?
Okay, Joe, it's wonderful. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Have a good...
I hope, wish you a listener a lovely Friday after all that poison.
Well, they'll be fine. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
See ya.
Bye.
Austrian television debates, TalkBack radio, and the press. It was